Here, welcome to Way of Life Fellowship. I am your host, Chris Robertson. And I'm excited that you're here. We this morning have our special offering, as I was saying, and all that money is going to be going to our orphanage down in Mexico. And so our hope is that we'll be able to provide them with a year of land payments, as well as do quite a lot of other building projects and various things like that. So hopefully, prayerfully, we can give sacrificially and see what the Lord does through that. We have a lot of things going on this week. There's our corporate prayer on Sunday night. Oh, right.
We're going to the movie?
Yeah. So on one change this week is on Tuesday evening, we have a small group, and we've been doing this Love Your Neighbor small group. It was called Loving Your Neighbor Without Being Weird. And we went through that small group, and we saw a lot of really good fruit from that. We're still seeing a lot of really good fruit from that. But this Tuesday, and you're welcome to join us, we're going to go see a movie together. We're going to go see Is Genesis History is the name of the movie, and it's in theaters. And so we're going to go to that, and I don't know where it's located. Are we going to Regal? Lancaster Mall Cinema, but we can meet at our house and carpool over or whatever or something. It's because this is new. Beep, 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 beep. Breaking news. Right? How is that? So on Tuesday, there's a showing of this movie. I would just encourage you to go to it. How's that? So go to it. Sanyam 11 on Lancaster South at 7 p.m. is when we're gonna go to that. So there you go. All right. Amen. Whew. All right. Out of breath. All right. There's women's Bible study this Thursday evening. It's the evening changed because, but only just for March 9th. So, no. Okay, so for two Thursdays in a row, the women's Bible study is going to meet on Wednesday. This is great. I love this. Any other announcements that are happening right now? So Wednesday has changed to Thursday. So Wednesday Bible study for women is not on Wednesday this week or next week. It is on Thursday, those two weeks. Sharon, would you like to explain why? Oh, cool. Awesome. There you go. Ike Quest is a cool thing over in at the Ike Box. Were you not able to hear? Okay. You wanted to go? Yes. It's just 16 to 19-year-olds, so you should be able to pass for that. Yeah. Too young. Yep. Yeah. Anyone else need a compliment this morning? You were all very beautiful and handsome. Most of you, I should say. All right. Any other announcements? I think baby shower for Alicia Weddle is on March 19th. That's at 1 p.m. They're having a baby girl that they're naming after me, and so that's cool. I think that's awesome. It's a great honor. I feel really blessed. Thank you. No, it's great. There is a cleaning party today after church for Jenny Hastings, Jenny and Steve Hastings. So if you're interested in helping out there and just are looking for a way to serve, that would be a great opportunity. You can talk to Yvonne about that for more details. Or Katie. We'll have a talk to either Katie or Yvonne. Okay, let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much just for humor and for fun and for our fellowship, Lord, that we are like a family. And Lord, I just pray that we would all have full refrigerator rights with each other. And Lord, that you would be blessed by our fellowship and our time together, Lord. I pray that your word would be preached well and boldly today by Paul, and I pray that, Lord, we would be able to hear from you today. Convict our hearts. Help us to grow more and more like you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite Paul to come up. He's going to talk this morning on the 5th. No, okay, yeah. You scared me. He looked at me like, what? I'm preaching? I'm like, wait. And my brain had to go, he's wearing a microphone. He's joking. But a little bit of panic struck there for a moment. So I appreciate that. Thanks, Paul.
Yeah. Happy to help. Good morning. There you go. All right. Well, Chris has been working on character throughout the Bible, and we're going to be working with a character today and next week. And if you have your Bibles, which I hope you do, turn to the book of Nehemiah, the Old Testament. Book of Nehemiah. As all things, we want to give God the glory. We want to ask him to lead us through this time, ask us to open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds, and let him speak to me and through me, and keep me out of his way, in Jesus' name. Nehemiah. In chapter 1, verse 11, the last statement says, "For I was the king's cupbearer." Now, the king's cupbearer, what does that mean? Cupbearer. Think about it. This is interactive, so go ahead and speak up. Cupbearer. What is a cupbearer? If you don't understand that word, I'll have JJ or Lynn translate. And so, yes, ma'am.
He's really close to the king, and he holds his cup and brings it to him and gives him his.
Close to the king, holds his cup and gives it to him. Okay. What else does he do?
I don't know, probably make sure it's not poison as well.
Yes, checks to see if it's not poison. Okay, exactly. So, now, are you going to bring anybody to this? Is the king going to have anybody there to bring him a cup of wine? No?
Trusted.
Who is he going to have? Somebody that's
trustworthy.
Okay. Yes, sir.
I think he had to be from the Welch's grapefruit family.
The Welch's grapefruit family. You had to be there. You've been sitting next to JJ too long. And and so, yeah, so you had to be a trusted person. Okay. Did you have to be college educated?
Tell me.
No. So, for I was the king's cupbearer. So, a man of integrity, a man, and of course, we know that integrity means wholeness from the Latin integer. And then we know that he would taste the wine before he gave it to the king. But besides that, because of his association with the king, he was very close to the king, and a lot of people knew that, so they would go through him to get to the king. So if you do favors for Nehemiah and get Nehemiah to do things, and Nehemiah could take what we would call bribes today, then you could get to the king. Amen? Did he do that? Not that we're aware of. Men of integrity don't do that. So, if I was the king's cupbearer, that's the first thing I want you to see on here in Nehemiah, is that he's a cupbearer, trustworthy man. He was Jewish. Now, the thing is that he's also for the king, but the king's not Jewish, because Nehemiah is in captivity. He's a slave, bondservant, slave. He's got a great job. Okay, great job. So let's go to Nehemiah 1:1. The word of Nehemiah, the son of Hilkiah, came to pass in the month of Shevaz in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hananiah, one of my brothers, came with men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said, and so he's asking questions. Now, why would he even care? He's probably born in captivity. He's had this job, a trustworthy job. Yeah, he's Jewish, but no big deal. I mean, you can be secular Jewish, like you can be secular Christian. He's got a great job. He's right there with the king all day long. And now he's asking his brother about what's going on in Jerusalem. That's interesting. And they said to me, the survivors who have left from captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down and the gates are burned with fire. In verse 3, and they said to me, the survivors are left in captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. Great distress and reproach. The place was in ruin. It was a disaster. The gates are burned off. The walls are broken down. There's no safety. Nothing. It's terrible there. And this is Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. But the nation of Israel is really non-existent right now. It's still under captivity. But Jerusalem is in trouble. So the first thing I want you to notice about this man is that he's concerned enough to ask his brother how things are. And he listened. Question for you is this. How many people have you asked today, hey, how are you? How's things? And then hang around for the answer. Or maybe you heard the answer, but it kind of went this way, over this way, down this way, and out that way. Never penetrated. How many people do we talk to in a day that we just talk to and we don't really give a darn? Let's get on my face. And we wonder why the church doesn't grow. And we wonder why we don't grow as Christians. How are you? Who cares? Tell me a lie, I don't care. Hey, you want to know how are things in Jerusalem? My brother, tell me what's going on. So he was concerned enough to ask. And we need to be concerned enough to ask, but we need to be concerned enough to ask to listen. And then when we listen, we need to learn how to listen. Now listen is more than just hearing. It's listening with your eyes. It's listening with your ears. It's listening with your heart. And that's how we can really determine what's being said. So in verse 4, so it was when I heard these words that I said, well, too bad, I can't do anything. Have a good life. See you later. I'll send you a check when I remember. Anybody have anything different?
My version's a little different.
Yours is a little different? Oh, okay. Let me check that out again. Oh, yeah, you're right. And so it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before God, before the God of heaven. You see, he was concerned enough to ask the question. He was concerned enough to listen. He's concerned enough to where it touched him. He was concerned enough to where he sat down and wept about what was going on in Jerusalem. Even though he had the cushy job, and may or may never not have ever been in Jerusalem. That was his heritage. And he wept and mourned for days, many days, fasting and praying before the God of heaven. He was concerned enough to weep. When was the last time you wept over things? Now, weeping, you know, is a physical thing. And they say weeping is cleansing. I can't weep. I am incapable of weeping. I have a situation in my eyes where I cannot weep. Okay? In order for me to weep, I have to put drops in there. Then I can just roll them down my face. But you have to weep. But you can weep not only from tears in your eyes, but you can weep from your heart. When you sit before God, and you weep before God, He's not so much looking at your tears, He's looking at your heart. As you cry out to Him. And Nehemiah was crying out to Him. So when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. And I was fasting and praying before God, the God of heaven. He was concerned enough to weep. So He'll listen. He understood what was being said. He weeps and He prays and He fasts and He mourns. Now He does this, is that now He's going to be concerned enough to pray. Look at this prayer in verse 5. And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, You who keep Your covenant and mercy with those who love You and observe Your commandments. Please, please let Your ear be attentive and Your eyes open that You may hear the prayer of Your servant, which I pray before You now, day and night, for the children of Israel, Your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel. Now watch this. The children of Israel, which we have sinned against You. Both my father's house and I have sinned. Wow. Now wait a minute. He's a cupbearer. He hasn't anything to do with Jerusalem. His brother goes back and forth. He's got a cushy job. What did he have to do? He's born in captivity. What did he have to do with the sins of his forefathers? How do you pray? How do you pray? Are you willing to accept your sins and put them before God? Are you also willing to accept the sins of your brothers and sisters and put them before God? When I pray for my family every day, I pray that God would touch them, that they would know them, that He would have a personal experience with them. And I pray as we confess my sins, I confess their sins, that they too would confess the sins and confess. And that we'd have that right relationship with Him. And that we're concerned enough to pray for each other. Concerned enough to admit the fact that we're sinners. Yes, sinners saved by grace, absolutely. And that I'm insane in process, absolutely. But I'm still a sinner. If you doubt that, just check my calendar. Sin today, still a saint. So we need to go to 1 John and confess every day. How often do we do that? Just once a day is fine. We'll do that early in the morning. Or we can do it at night and wash everything away. Or maybe we should do something like check in every day. You know, don't you take a break in the morning? Why don't you check in with God and say, Lord, checking in. I want to confess my sins. How about lunch? Go to lunch. Why don't you check in then too? Lord, since I've checked in earlier, I'd like to check in again. How about we confess our sins? How about you stay in the right relationship with God all day and try that one day in a row? And then when you like it, go for 2 days. So he confessed the sins of himself. He confessed the sins of his family. And he confessed the sins of the nation. We have acted very corruptly against you, and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servants Moses. What is it they kept breaking? Very simple. You don't have to look far because you can look to today and we're doing the same doggone thing. The people of Israel had idols before them. They had a God, Yahweh. They had a wonderful temple. They had priests. They had this. They had perfect, wonderful sacrifices. They had milk and honey in the country. They had it all. Look at America. What do we have? Well, we have a lot of churches, buildings, we have a lot of temples, we have this, we have that, we have all this, we got money, we got everything. But is that enough? And if that was enough, then why is it we don't have more people come to church on Sunday? Why is it we don't have church every day of the week? Because this place would be so full we couldn't handle it. So apparently our focus is wrong, and the focus of Israel was wrong. Because Israel started worshiping other gods with little g's and having idols before them. They started worshiping things made of silver and wood and gold and all that silliness. And what do? We do the same thing that we call ours, cell phones and computers and laptops. And cigarettes. Good man. Yeah, so what's your idol? And this is what they were doing. This is the sin that he's confessing. They broke the relationship with God. God wants, see, this is not rules and regulation. This is a how-to book. How to have a relationship with God. How to have a loving relationship with God. If you look at the Ten Commandments, they're not commandments. It's a how-to. Verse 6, how to love God. The first four, how to love God. Last six, how to love each other. It's not difficult, but we don't want to do that. So he's concerned enough to ask. He's concerned enough to weep. He's concerned enough to pray. And he prays 12 times in here. In his book, he prays. 12 times. He's got 12 prayers in here. You want to learn how to pray? Read all his prayers. Wonderful prayers. Remember, I pray, the words that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out of the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I had chosen as a dwelling for my name. Now these are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. Do you realize that if you take the Bible and you read the Bible and you pray the Bible back to God, he's going, hey, nice going. He loves that. He loves it because you're taking the time to get into his word, to know his word, to study his word, to be with him. And what is his word? Is a relationship with you that says, hey, Nesta, can I talk to you? Let me talk to you. Pick up your Bible. Come over here and read this. And read back to me. And read it aloud. And that's going to open your ears. You go, whoa, listen to this. I'm hearing the word of God. And I'm preaching. I'm talking to God. He's talking to me. Wow. Wow. See, praying is a conversation. It's a conversation that not only do we speak it, but we also listen. And how do we listen? So he's concerned enough to pray. And in verse 11 he says, oh Lord, I pray, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name, and let your servant prosper this day, I pray. Grant him mercy in the sight of this man. Nehemiah is praying for himself. Oh Lord, I pray, let your ear, God, your ear, be attentive to the prayer of your servant, me, Nehemiah. Not a cupbearer, not somebody of importance, not somebody of stature, not somebody who can wield power, who has the right hand of the king. No, no. Your doulos in Greek. Your servant. Your bondservant. And to the prayer of your servants, who desire to fear your name, and let your servant, Nehemiah, prosper this day. How is it that he's going to prosper? Give me more gold. Don't need it. Give me more silver. Don't need it. Give me better wine. Don't need it. Give me a better job. Don't need it. Well, how are you going to prosper him? I'm going to prosper him by having a better relationship with God. and by being a servant that God has called him to be, as he's called us to be. I pray and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. He's asking for mercy in the sight of the man. And who's the man? The king. And what's he asking for? He's praying. He's been fasting and praying for solutions. I just heard things are terrible in Jerusalem. Oh my. I'm going to step aside now. You see, you couldn't cry in the presence of a king and have that smiley face all the time. And be joyful. That's part of being with the king. He steps aside for 3 days and prays and worships and just begs God to help him. What is it you want me? He put it on my heart. What is it you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Question you need to ask today is, what do you, God want you to do? For the last couple of years, last trip to Alaska, I met a pastor from Kenya. And he's constantly been inviting me to come over. And my answer to that is, I'll go when God sends me. Amen. Not until then. Oh, that's a waste of time. Well, since January this year, we've been conversing more and more. And we've been praying about me going over there. And I still won't make that final decision. I've talked to Chris about it, and I've talked to some other folks about it, and I've talked to Lynn about it. About what would you think about me going to Kenya, but I'm not going until God says it's okay. So we talked about it, we prayed about it, we fasted about it. We did that fasting with some great donuts. And it's a different kind of fast. And and we prayed about it. And this week, actually 2 days ago, I bought the ticket to go to Kenya. So, why am I going? Because God's sending me. Nehemiah says, God, what is it you want? There's a need out there, but I'm not going until you do something about it. I'm not going until you send me. I can't. I'm the king's cupbearer. I have a responsibility. And he waited upon the Lord because he waited 4 months to the next little session here. 4 months he waited. You can tell that by the calendar they set up. So here I am, 4 months, which is kind of amazing, 4 months, almost 4 months, and now the plan is to go to Kenya. April 21st through May 4th. Be over there teaching and preaching. So do I ask for your prayers? Absolutely. Do I ask for prayers for Lynn? Absolutely. Because she loves it when I go to Africa because she gets to remodel the house. So pray for the checkbook. And for I was the cupbearer of the king. He didn't consider himself above anybody else, was willing to get on his knees and pray before the Almighty God. And we need to do the same. When I go to Africa, a man who's got all his education, and they think all Americans are rich. So I go over there and really kind of surprise them. Go, no, we're not. And so, but the thing is that they respect the fact that you come over and you want to spend time with them. Chris can tell you that. And they love that. And but the thing is that they kind of put you on a higher plane than above them. And the other thing is, because you're white, that makes a difference too. But the thing is that I'm not there to be above them. I'm there to be a servant. So when I go, I'm a servant. And it's taken me 9 years for them to really understand the fact that when I come over, I'm Dr. Paul the servant. I'm not Dr. Paul the cupbearer. We need to remember that, and who we are before God. So we need to listen to each other, ask questions, Listen, we need to weep for each other, to pray for each other, to uphold each other, to take us, to take and confess our sins before each other, and this is why we do accountability groups. You know how difficult it is for guys to sit around a kitchen table and on a Monday morning at 6:30 and be honest with each other? But it's wonderful. There's five of us that meet at my house, and there's an opening for another man who wants to join us. And it's wonderful because we get to sit before God and be honest before Him and with each other and hold each other accountable before God. And we get to pray for each other. As we confess each other's sins to each other, to uphold, not to shame each other, but to help each other. And we're not cupbearers, but we're God's servants. So after all of that, caring enough to ask, caring enough to weep, caring enough to pray, caring enough to volunteer to go. We see in chapter 2 that it came to pass in the month of Nisan. When wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. Therefore the king said to me, "Why is your face sad since you are not sick? Is there nothing but sorrow in your heart?" So I became dreadfully afraid. See, you weren't supposed to be sad in front of the king. And said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste? And his gates are burned with fire." You see, he was waiting on the Lord for the right moment to say something. He had that burning desire to go to Jerusalem, but he was waiting on the Lord. And now, 4 months later, 4 months. Isn't it amazing sometimes when we just feel like, yep, this is it, let's go ahead and do it. Boom. And we went this way when God said, you know, if you had just waited that extra time, we would have gone the right way. He waited on the Lord. Psalm 27:14 is a great passage. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Are you waiting? But don't forget, waiting is also can be an excuse for not doing. When he says go, you go. So he tells the king. Then the king said to me, "What do you request?" Isn't this great? He's been thinking about this and praying about this for 4 months. Do you think he's got a plan of action? Do you think God put it in his heart that says, here's, if I send you, here's what I want you to do? It's like when Chris goes to Africa or somebody else, and I go to Africa, we have a plan of what we're going to do. We know where we're going to be. We know where we're going to go. We know who we're going to visit with. And we're already pre-planning the seminars. And also praying about all the messages, the sermons that we're going to be preaching, and the people that we're going to be talking to. Well, sometimes Chris doesn't do most of that, but love you. Thank you. He had a plan. Then the king said to me, "What do you request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said to the king, "Wait, I prayed to the God of heaven." It's one of those, bam, whoop, hello. God, thank you. This is it. This is the moment you've had me wait for. Talk to me. Talk through me. He didn't get on his knees, say the rosary, say the beaver beads, and anything else. He just said, "Thank you, Lord." I'm assuming that's what he said. And he waited and he spoke what he used to say. So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, and your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tomb, that I may rebuild it. See, he had faith to wait, and he had faith to ask. Was he unorganized or organized? He was totally organized. So, my suggestion to you, and I taught Pastor Ben this over in Africa, it's a simple thing called a to-do list. What are the things I'm to do today? And you can list them out, 1 through 10, 1 through 100, whatever you want. But you write them out. Here's what needs to be done. And as you do them, you put a line through them. That gives you encouragement to continue. And what you don't finish today, you move up to the next top of the list for tomorrow. I think he had a list going here. He had a list of what was needed to be done. Because look what he says here. Then the king said to me, the queen also beside him, how long will you, he tells him, I want to go to Jerusalem. How long will you be gone, and when will you return? So he knew when he wanted to leave, he knew when he was going to return, and he knew what he needed. So please the king to send me. And I set a time. You see, we need to do that. So when I go to Africa or somebody else goes to Africa, we set time limits. You know, Lynn says you have to be home by this time. So no more can I be there for 3 months. So now I'm trying to figure out how I can do it for 2.5. And so and then have her come over for the last 2 weeks and make that 3 months. So it still works out. But he set a time. And he set a time. Furthermore, I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to me. He knew what he needed. He needed timber to rebuild. He needed authority from the king to do all the remodeling that needed to be done. And he knew he was probably going to run into some buzzsaws back there, people who were not Jewish, who were there working and living there, who were going to give him nothing but trouble because for the last, I don't know how many years, they had stopped the rebuilding of the wall and also the temple. Took forever to finish. Because of problems. So he says, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river. And he asked, and he went, and he had an escort, and he gets there. So the man was organized. There's nothing wrong with being organized. A to-do list works well. But let it be God's to-do list. Do you pray before you get up every day? Oh Lord, let this day be your day. Let your will be my will. Let your way be my way. And your to-do list be my to-do list. What is it you pray every day? How's your organizational skills? They can something that can be taught and learned. Amen? It's not difficult. So then he has the faith now to challenge. In chapter 2 he says he had faith to challenge. He had a challenge. And in order to face, he faces the challenge. And what's the challenge is that the wall is down, the gates are down. And that's the main problem. That's the challenge. What do we do about it? How do you figure out how to do things? You have to go investigate. Google it. And that's what he did. He went there and Googled it. How do we know that? So, verse 11. So I came to Jerusalem, and there, I was there for 3 days Googling. Researching. Okay. Then I rose at night, and I and a few men with me. I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, nor was there any animal with me except the one which I rode. And I went out by night through the valley gate to the serpent well and the refuse gate, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates were burned with fire. Then I went to the fountain gate into the king's pool, but there was no room for the animals under me to pass. So I went up into night by the valley and viewed the wall. Then I turned back and entered by the valley gate and so returned. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done. I had not told the news, the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the others who did the work. He investigated what was going on. He went to see what is his job going to look like. And it was a mess. Do you realize that some of that wall that's described here is still the same way over there? If you ever get a chance to go to Israel, you'll get a chance to see that. It's still that way. When they destroyed that, the Babylonians came in, they really did a number on that wall. So he went and investigated. He had the faith to take his time, to take a few men with him, to go out and take a look at the job and survey the work. He didn't start spreading the rumors and doing this and coming in and saying how great I am. I came all the way from Susa. Look at me. Cupbearer. Right hand to the king. Look at me. Ha-ha. Let's go out and investigate. Ha-ha. Nope. He did it at night. But a few trusted folks. And he went and he got his to-do list finished up. What needs to be done? What do I need to get to finish the job? By the way, I have my letters so I can get all the lumber I need. So what are we knowing about this cupbearer? We know he's a man who likes to listen. We know he's a man who's not afraid to weep. We know he's a man who prays to God. We know he's a man who's willing to volunteer to serve God. Like Isaiah, here I am, send me. Send me. Why do I go to Africa? Send me. Certainly isn't for the joy of travel. 9,000 miles one way is just too long to travel. Send me. So we don't go because of the travel, the air miles, the airplane food, the airport courtesies. We go to serve God. And God alone. As his servants, we join him in his work. This is a man, Nehemiah was. And he had the faith to wait. The faith to wait. He waited upon God. And then when the king asked him, why are you so sad? He had the faith to go ahead and ask and say, look, king, I need to go and sit and do this work. And I need this to go with me. King says, go. And he gets there. And rather than doing a big fanfare, he goes and waits, and then he goes out and investigates. He had the faith to challenge. He had the faith to investigate. He had the faith to set up the plan. Now, the plan for one man or two men is great, but this is more than a three-man job. Is it not? If we're going to rebuild this wall, three men are not going to do it. We're going to need three men and a baby. And wait, that's the wrong movie. Then I said to them, verse 17, you see the distress that we are in? How Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned with fire? Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of God which had been good upon me, and also the king's words that he had spoken to me. You see, we have great plans sometimes, but we don't share them. We don't share the plans. We just say, okay, look, here's something we want to put, here's a ministry we're going to do, let's just go do it. Details? How about some details? When, where, who, what, why, how? And whatever you said, I didn't hear. That's great. Again, I didn't hear it. That's good. Okay. You're talking to a deaf guy. You got to really speak up. So the whole idea is that he's now going to share, and then he's going to invite the people to work together. We need to help each other by working together. And I mean church. I don't just mean here. I mean church. How many churches are there? One. How many heads to the church are there? One. Therefore, one church, one head, one body, and we need to learn to work together. Come. Let us build in Salem. Let us build in South Salem. Let us come together and build in Jesus' name. Let's come. And let us quit being a reproach. And we are a reproach. The Christian church is a reproach. Just look at the government. Look at things that happen. I saw a little video I just saw. I don't normally watch videos, but I saw a little video about a guy being kicked out of a mall in Texas. He was having a private conversation with somebody, and they were talking about Jesus. Next thing you know is that big old security guard comes in, out of shape, and tells them they have to leave. So we're losing our rights in America about being able to talk anything that we want, any place we want, about Jesus. And if you watch that video, you can see it's very sad. Very sad. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem, and we may no longer be a reproach. And I tell them in the hand of God, which have been good upon me, and also the king's words which have spoken to me. So we're seeing that this is God's involved. He had the king involved, and he had the answered prayer. Now he's getting the people involved to get this done. Let's build a wall. We've got a direction. So now I'm going to challenge the people. So I have faith to challenge by investigating what needs to be done. Now I know what needs to be done. I'm going to challenge the people to join me and go out and do the work. Now look, I'm a cupbearer. Do you think I got calluses on my hand? No. Probably got calluses on my lip from drinking all from the cups. But I'm going to go out there and build this wall. Ready to join me? You going to come and join me? Want to build a wall? Come. Let's build a wall. Let's stop being a reproach. Let's stop being a stink to the people around us. That's what you're talking about. We're a stink in their sight. We're a stink in their nose. This is what they think of us. But we serve a living God. Let's go to bed. Let's go and build his wall. So he challenges the people. Let us rise and build. Then they set their hands to this good work. Man, is he a good leader or what? Good leader. But a good leader does what? Listens to God. Listens to the people. Listens to the situation. Goes to God for the answers. Waits for God for the answers. Asks God for the direction. Gets the resources that God will provide if we give him the time to do that. This man will also go on site, investigate the site, and then once they know what it is, he announces what God's plan is, what God wants us to do, and then invites everybody to join him in the work. Praise God. He's not the Lone Ranger. Because don't forget, the Lone Ranger still had Tonto with him. We need to work together. And Nehemiah showed us that. Amen? Is that going to make everybody happy? Well, let's see. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to do this good work. But when Sanballat, the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard of it. They laughed at us and despised us and said, "What is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king?" So I answered him and said to them, "The God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build, but you will have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem." Look, we're going to have problems. The world is not going to be happy with us. But right now, for the most part, the world is pretty satisfied with the Church of Christ, Jesus Christ, because we don't do anything. We're a bunch of complacent, sad sacks Christians. Isn't that a shame? You can walk any place and people won't recognize you as a Christian. That's terrible. The church itself is in trouble. We're in major trouble. Let's do what Nehemiah is doing. Let's confess to each other that we have problems here. That we as a church have problems. That we as a church are broken down, and our walls are broken down, and our gates are broken down, and nobody really cares. That the news that we get on television, the news about pastors who are homosexuals who are complaining because somebody came in and told them the truth, and now the one who told them the truth is the bad guy. And yet they say they're Christian churches. We have Christian churches that say abortions are fine. God was only kidding when he said, "Don't kill your kids." And they're not real kids until they're actually born anyway, so don't worry about it. Are we in trouble? Yes, we are. We have people who don't want to go to church, and they call church the woods. Go to 30-06 and go shoot God or somebody. Are we in trouble? Yes, we are. We have people who don't know what the Bible is because they don't read the Bible. We have churches that don't teach the Bible. Are we in trouble? Yes, we are. So what do? Do we throw our hands up? Or do we turn around and do what we just did here last week? We had 3 days of prayer. Let's call for another day of 3 days of prayer. Let's call for 3 days of prayer and fasting, no donuts. Let's call for fasting and prayer for 3 days for us. Let's call for that and say, "Lord God, we're coming to you and we're going to weep for our people. Weep for this nation. Weep for the church. And we're going to ask for your direction. I'm going to ask that you, God, as we cry out to you, and now if some of us can't cry with tears, but we can cry out with our hearts, that you, God, would have your way. That we can join Nehemiah and say, "Send me. Send me. Give me the things that you want me to do and send me. And Lord, we'll go look at what you want us to do. Then we'll tell the people, come join us. Come, let us go build. To your glory, to your honor, and to your praise." Nehemiah part one. Part two next week. But now you get a taste of this leader, this man of God, this man who's not afraid to confess the sins of the people, but his own sins. A man who cries out to God. Let us join him in that. You know, I was thinking of Moses. Born Jewish, raised by mom, weaned by mom, given to the Pharaoh, raised in the kingdom. Had all the gold and silver he wanted. Eventually he chose to be with the people. And he ended up being the leader of the people. You got Jesus, the king, not born in the capital of Jerusalem, not born in the kingdom, in the palace, but born in a cave, who gave up everything from heaven and came to earth, born in a cave, who never had a house of his own. He told her that. I don't have a house of my own. And he served the people. He got Nehemiah, cupbearer, who takes no credit for who he is, but goes to God for all things and says, I am a servant, use me. Can we join these people in saying the same thing? I am a servant of the Most High God. Use me where, when, and how you want in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. So that's the question for today. What do you think? Comments? Statements? What do you think? What stuck out today? Yes, ma'am.
That there is need for great action, so many of us are comfortable and complacent.
Okay, could everybody hear that?
Yeah.
Okay, what'd you say?
I said that there is need for great action, that so many of us are complacent and comfortable in our lives, and we need to make a real difference.
Okay. All right.
Encouraged to do that.
Encouraged to do that, yeah. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Prayer is powerful.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You know what that reminds me of is Pilate. You remember when Pilate, there's Jesus standing right in front of him? And Pilate goes to Jesus and he goes, so what's truth? And leaves. He never hung around to find the answer. And truth was staring him right in the face. Because truth is a person. You're right. He asked and he waited. Then he went. Yes, sir.
Nehemiah knew what he wanted. This was not something that just popped into his head one day. He had given it a lot of thought. He had planned. It was a reasoned plan. It wasn't some harebrained, off-the-cuff thing. He had a desire in his heart to see Jerusalem rebuilt, and he had thought it out. So when the opportunity came, he had run his plan before God and got it cleared there. So when the king spoke, he had a coherent plan to go. He could take off and go on the king's say-so.
Okay. And God probably gave him the plan himself. Yep.
Right.
Okay.
But it was not just he woke up one morning. And
well, he didn't go into the book, How to Build a Wall for Dummies book. Yeah, he didn't use that one, right. I don't think that was written yet, was it?
Not yet.
No, okay. Yeah, it was later. Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. You want to close this in prayer?
Yeah.
Thank
Father.
You.
Oh. Yep. Thanks, Paul. Father, thank you so much just for an opportunity to just remember that you are in charge and that, Lord, when you give us vision, when you give us a task, Lord, that you will provide the means in order to make that accomplished, Lord. Father, thank you for using people who are unbelievers, Lord, to provide the means in order to see godly things be done. And Lord, I ask that you would bless our church, that we would be faithful, Lord, to do everything that you've called us to do, Lord, that we would just not turn to the left or to the right of your will, but we would be right in the center of it, Lord. And Father, I pray that we would just listen to the Holy Spirit as you tell us what your vision is for us, individually and corporately together as a church, Lord. Thank you for this body here that represents the bride of Christ well, Lord, that is the bride of Christ. And that, Lord, we can not only be saying that we're believers, but that it is our way of life, Lord, and that we want to be believers in word and deed. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have